Good evening and welcome to Kadampa Center for a weekend of teachings on emptiness with Venerable Amy Miller. I'm very excited about these teachings. She was here last year and was doing really this very fascinating, exciting teaching. And just as she got to emptiness, we ran out of time. So we're very glad to have her back and teaching about emptiness. Very excited about that. And she will be bringing that sort of to life for us and how it, how understanding emptiness can help us live happier lives and what's to complain about with that. Venerable Amy is a teacher with the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. That is our family organization. She first encountered Buddhism in a course at Kopan Monastery, which was founded by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, the spiritual director of FPMT. She was at a course in 1987. She's been teaching since 1992, so things really caught on for her. She was ordained in 2000, and she teaches all around in FPMT centers all around the country. She's led pilgrimages in Tibet, Burma, India, and Nepal. So she's quite experienced, and she's really very warm and sweet and delightful. Just a couple things to go over. I'm Donna Cease. I'm our co-spiritual programs coordinator. I'm not just off the street. Couple things you'll need to know. One is our about prostrations. When she enters the room, we'll stand, of course. And then normally when Geshe Gelug is here teaching, at his request, we prostrate along with him. And this is not the usual thing. So when Venerable Amy comes, we will wait. She will prostrate, and then when she's seated, those of us who wish to prostrate can start then. If you're new to all of this and you know, prostrations are not required. We want you to be comfortable. Don't forget to turn off your cell phones. If you're coming tomorrow, and I hope you all do, during lunchtime, we will use that time to talk about what we've heard so far. So bring a nice bag lunch and get ready to talk. Everybody will have an opportunity to make an offering to her if you want to. You're very welcome to make personal offerings. We'll also have katas available on Sunday if you want to offer a kata to her. I also want to let you know that Kadampa Center will be making an offering to her on behalf of all of us here. And we can make a more generous offering to her if we have sponsorships or donations here at the center. Everything we do at Kadampa Center is offered with no charge to come in the door. And this is because we feel these teachings are so precious that we never want finances to be an obstacle for anybody to be able to hear them. But, of course, we still live in samsara, and there are still expenses to bringing a teacher like Venerable Amy here. So if you feel yourself moved from the heart by what you hear, then please do help make these teachings available this time and for the next time. And that also creates the cause for you to encounter the teachings again in future lives. So we have donation boxes right outside the door of the Gampa and then on the desk near the front door. And you can also, if you forget and go home and go, you can get online and sponsor that way. And I think that's it. So she is, my text tells me that she's in the car and on the way. She'll probably be here in about 10 minutes. So compose your minds, be ready, and we'll have a great evening. Thank you.
Okay, turn to page 97, I believe. Yes. Yes, let's see.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sa ji per ki shu shing me tok tam ri ra blin
shi ni de gen pa di sang ye jin du mi te Jing la che pa sho je tsu la ma dam pa ke nam ki che ku ka la Can say to Jinti Jita Tsampe Du She Tsima La Jab Ge Che Ki Char pa wap tu su Idam guru rata mandala kam niriyata yami Chutanso kicho nam la janchu bardu dani kyap suchi Daki chen yen ki pesu nam gi Dola pen chir sangir tu parsho Chutanso kicho nam la janchu bardu dani kyap suchi Daki chen yen ki pesu nam gi Dola pen chir sangir tu parsho Chirdonso ki chonam la janchu bardu dani kyapsuchi dagi chen yengi peser namgi dola pencher sangye tu pasho.
You all seem very far away. We'll have to move people up tomorrow. I want to thank you so much for coming. I'm delighted to be back here. And I'd like to thank everyone at the Kadampa Center, Robbie and Donna, and of course Geshe Gelek and Geshe Sangpo, and many of you I'm not even remembering to mention. So all of the people and all the precious Anilas, thank you so much. It's very nice for me to be around some other nuns. Very happy to see the nuns. And so thank you very, very much for coming. And we have a lot of work to do this weekend, okay? So some of you may have just come this evening, no problem. And then there's a Sunday morning, a general course on Sunday morning, the way Geshe-la would, the way he would have his class. So we'll continue with a final session Sunday afternoon. I think most people are clear about that. So I just wanted to thank everyone for showing up. So we have a course on emptiness this weekend. I'm just curious how many of you have had some exposure to teachings, have studied some courses on emptiness, like the Discovering Buddhism course? Okay, a few people. Some people brand new here? Okay. Buckle your seatbelt. Okay. So, anyway, what we're going to try to do this weekend, and I am not any authority, I don't have all the answers. What I'd like to do is give you some information according to this tradition, the Gelug or Gelugpa tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. And it's, you have to actually use this information yourself. Investigate thoroughly, please, everything I'm saying. Be discerning. Check up on the information. So we might do a meditation. I might give some homework, something for you to think about, reflect on. You have to make the effort yourself and try to see how your mind is functioning, why it is functioning like that. Spaciously, I'd like you to do this work, okay, with generosity and equanimity towards yourself. That's what this path is all about. Okay? So we have an opportunity here to begin to understand how to dismantle, okay, the negative tendencies. Why does my mind, why is it prone to anger and attachment and jealousy and pride and fear and anxiety? Okay, what happens with those things? You're not stuck that way at all. Okay, so emptiness is the thing underneath all of this, by having this misknowing. I'm coming into contact with my reality in a mistaken way. Why is that happening? Number one, we're going to talk about. What do I do about it when it happens? So, and we're just going to try to take some baby steps this weekend. Okay, you've heard, some of you have heard this before. I'm going to just give you my delivery of it. Like that. So I hope it'll shed some light, open up some new doors for those of you that have heard this before. And then maybe introduce and plant some seeds for people that might be very new. So no worries at all. Is this being recorded at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, great. I just wondered. Do you have a YouTube thing or no?
Also live streaming.
You do. So then I could get that later?
The YouTube?
Okay. Somehow, or you can just email. You could email it to me or something. I just wondered if it might be useful. So.
Our media guys are nodding sagely. So.
In what? In.
Our media guys are nodding sagely. So what you want?
Okay, whatever. No worries. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. So one thing what I'm going to do is I want to give a little background, because all the teachers give background, and people say, we would just want the emptiness stuff, you know, just get to that stuff. But you need some background to understand how it fits in, okay? I will refer you to some books and things like that. The reason it's helpful with background is for those of you, how many of you have been studying a bit here at the center? Okay. How many years?
At the center, 8 or 9.
8 or 9 years. Okay. Geshe, they have fantastic teachers here and wonderful, wonderful community they've developed here. It's just lovely to be here. So some of you studying 5 years, 8, 9 years, like that. Some of you, I know some old friends here. Lovely. And I've got 3 old friends here, 2 from California and 1 from when I was at Milarepa Center. So nice to see people made this effort. Thank you very much. Studying a long, long time. Okay, so we just recited the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer. It's the last prayer you recite before the teachings. So what we do, and I teach at a really practical level, okay, what we do is we, Sangye Chodan Zogye Chonamla, right? Did you think about it all, what you're saying? I know, thank you. Very honest. She's like, okay, very honest, thank you. So we don't think about these things, okay? So this is really the essence. The essence is in these 4 lines. The essence of the path is in these 4 lines. So even going back to something as simple as that, people say, I know Refuge and Bodhicitta, got it. People say Lamrim teachings. I always like when somebody says, this happens a lot in California, doesn't it? What's the teaching going to be on? Who's teaching? Lama's teaching. What's he teaching? Lamrim. Oh, I already had that. Right? So they've had the teaching. Have you had any realization of it? Are you meditating on it regularly? Because that's when it starts to shift your life from having an intellectual understanding here. When you meditate, then you have an experiential realization here. That's what moves your heart, opens your mind in a different way. Okay, so refuge and bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. Okay, to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. Okay, it takes in a thing is the reason I'm doing this is I'm concerned about more suffering I can experience. I can die and experience a lot more suffering. Okay, that generates a bit of fear for me to motivate me to move on this path, to go for refuge, to get enlightened. Okay, the fear in our tradition isn't to cripple you. Okay, it is to motivate your practice. Simply like that. Okay, so you've got the beginning path of the Lamrim, the beginning motivation, is I'm motivated because things could be a lot worse, and that motivates me to practice. Okay? But then I realize that this particular path right now, the life I have, is also full of suffering. So this isn't also adequate. Okay? Taking on the scope of the motivation, the middle scope, motivated being, okay, wants to eliminate that suffering to reach nirvana, their own freedom and liberation, a permanent cessation of all their mental afflictions. That's what nirvana really is. Permanent cessation of all your mental afflictions. Imagine that. Pretty nice. Okay. However, if I'm free and all these beings are still suffering, can you really sleep well at night? So the highest scope motivation, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. May I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. Okay? So if I could get enlightened, that's beyond nirvana. If I could get enlightened, then I'm fully empowered to be of the most benefit to all. I'm unlimited in my scope of helping others. I'm omniscient, all-knowing. I'm free of all fears as a Buddha. That's what enlightenment's about. Inconceivable space of mind, because I know everybody's past, present, and future karma in all world systems simultaneously. Can you imagine? Okay, it's inconceivable, okay? So that takes the highest scope motivation. I'm motivated to free all, and it says all sentient beings. All sentient beings, okay? So it's okay for us to be motivated to help our family, to help our friends, okay? But the jerk at work, what do you think of that person? Right? Everybody but them. Okay, but as a Mahayana Buddhist, you are signing up to benefit all sentient beings. That includes them. If you go, if any of you, some people planning to go to the retreat in August, Light of the Path retreat, outside of Asheville, hosted by Kadampa Center. Okay, it's the fourth year. Thank you so much to Kadampa Center. I've been able to go to the other 3 years. It's phenomenal. You sit with a master, Lama Zopa Rinpoche. You sit with a very highly realized being. That's unusual to do that. Okay? I know some of you are going to take holidays this summer. Going to have some recreation. Okay, I'm a little biased, but the best thing you can do for your life is get your butt there. I can't say it enough. Go for a weekend. If you can't go 2 weeks, go for a weekend. It's the best thing you can do for your mind. Sit with somebody. It changes your atoms. I'm not kidding you. It changes you cellularly for the better. If you're open to it. Okay? And Lama Zopa Rinpoche sat there 1 year. And this is Rinpoche. Some of you are familiar with this. All sentient beings. We're here for all sentient beings. Okay? So we have to remember that, honestly. I'm just emphasizing it because this is the point of why we're here. This is the point of why we're here, and that's the source of your happiness. It's for others. So every time you get stuck sitting in yourself, every time there's some little niggling, meh, you know, just check what is your mind focused on. And what happens is, superficially, we might be very aware of what our mind is focused on, but there's something beneath that. And then there's something beneath that and beneath that and beneath that. So this course is going to focus more on what is really underneath it all, the basis. But it's very nice to shed your own layers to understand, for instance, what's usually underneath anger, for instance. What would you say is underneath your anger if you ever get angry? Anybody ever get angry in here? Okay. What's underneath your anger?
Frustration.
Frustration, that's a form of anger. As is annoyance and irritation. They're all forms of anger. So if I know and I'm watching my mind, how do I watch my mind? I practice every day. I have a meditation practice every day. It gives me insight into the nature of my mind. Okay, so now I go to work. Okay, but it's informed by my meditation practice. It's got a little bit of balance. It doesn't mean my meditation practice goes well every day. It's the same mind, but sometimes my mind's really uncooperative. So what I do in my meditation practice, I've learned and rehearsed, I hang with that. You show up for your mind. Sometimes your mind is grumpy. Sometimes it's lazy and sleepy, and sometimes it's bright and beautiful and spacious. That's us. We're all those things. So when it's less than generous, with equanimity and equal regard, I sit with that. You wake up one morning in a bad mood. You wake up one morning spacious. Okay? Understand? It's the same regard you want to have. Same regard. So what I did is when I started, how many of you have a active meditation practice? Would you say? Okay, great. So what I do is when I started meditating, I didn't know what I was doing. So I had a little place or find some comfortable something like that. And sometimes I would just sit there for 10 minutes. I didn't know what to do, but it got me into the pattern of like having a little quiet moment to myself. Then I learned some meditations. Learned what to do. You can have a book in front of you. Slowly started to adapt to what to do. And then it grew from there. Slowly, slowly they can show you things like that. We will do some meditation here. That very, very helpful to inform, to use my life from there. Okay? So what happens with anger now is, let's say you're at a business meeting. Your kid is irritating you. Your husband or your wife is driving you crazy. I can catch it now at irritation. So watching my mind, and I'll be like, getting really irritated. I just watch it. Okay, I observe the irritation, but I'm able to use that there, apply my antidotes, meaning I got my toolbox out, apply the tools I need to subdue that, transform it before it's full-blown anger. So thank you. Frustration. A hand in the back. What's under your anger?
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so this is great. From analyzing, you understand it's not just anger. Something motivating it. Okay? So you got fear. And what's underneath fear? Any idea? What's underneath fear? What do you think? What's that?
Some concept that I'm, or some idea that I'm going to be annihilated.
That I'm going to be annihilated? Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep. Ignorance? Sure, ignorance is under there as well. I mean, that misknowing. And what does it create?
Attachment.
Self-attachment. All these things are connected to it. Okay, it's a C word. Loss of control. Okay? Loss of control. But again, please check with your mind. Is this really what happens? The next time you get angry, notice what's very helpful as a Buddhist practitioner. I like to know, why am I getting angry right now? Don't just leave it at anger and then you blow up at somebody. What is that doing for anybody? Okay? So maybe I can't deal with it in the moment. This person's in my face. They're pissing me off. I can't deal. Then that's what I take back to my practice. Take it back to my cushion. Okay, what happened today? I had a terrible time with that person. What's it? It's showing me something about my mind. What's it showing me? Go in there and analyze it. You know, I have this agenda today. Will they interfere with my agenda? So my agenda is more important than their agenda? What was my motivation? What's actually going on for this person? Do I know anything about them? Okay, see what I mean? So you can analyze it and you start to understand. A woman once, I maybe told this story before in here, when I taught in California, we had a group that met on Monday nights in the Santa Cruz area. It started, somebody offered this senior daycare. We met at night. I wanted it open on a bus line for free to access some people because our center was buried in the redwoods. It was very hard to get to. So a lot of people, then we had 60 people come every week for years we met like this. And one woman came in, Californians drive a lot, right? She came in furious at the road. She was on a very dangerous highway that connects Santa Cruz to San Jose, California. And she came in and some guy had butt in front of her with his car, not signaling. And she was just so angry. So we had to kind of process this in the middle of the class. She was so... This guy, this jerk, my lane, my car, my... You know, I mean, it was outrageous. And then suddenly she got to this thing and she had this gasp of like, I was afraid I was going to have an accident. Right? She said, I was going to lose control of the car. I was losing control of the car. Okay, what can you control? Certainly not your partner, right? Well, we want to control things, don't we? We really want to have some control, want to make sure, because then everything's okay. If I can control things, right? Okay, what can you control?
Yourself.
Your mind. Yourself. Yeah, she's back there pointing to her head, right? It's here, actually. Okay? The mind. In Tibetan Buddhism, is located at the heart center, not the organ, the heart, in a subtle energy system. Okay? It's only your mind you can control. So the more, again, the more we get real with it's me and my mind, I can only control my mind that then controls my responses to things and to people and to situations. Okay? Is it out there? You know, I know for years I was trying to fix my mother. Anybody have that experience? If I can just, you know, if I can just get my boss sorted, everything's going to be all right. Right? And I've met people that change jobs. You know, they hated their boss. They changed jobs, and they came back to me and they said, it's the same boss. Right? The same problem. Why? It's your mind. Because it's in your mind. This is Lama Zopa Rinpoche's teaching. Everything comes from the mind. This is Tibetan Buddhism. Everything comes from the mind. Okay? So let's start to look at how our minds work. So what I'd like you to do is we're going to get ourselves in the mood. And we go to what time?
8:30.
That's all? 8:30. Oops. That's not very much time. Okay, that's fine. Okay, what I'd like you to do is find that comfortable sitting posture. And we did some of the prayers, but it's really nice to take a moment to put ourselves into the right space and set a proper motivation. So just allow your eyes to lightly close. Take a couple of deep breaths, and as you release the breath and exhale, just slowly release all the activities of the day, allowing yourself to slowly settle into this space. Check your posture. Mainly making sure the back is as upright as possible. And if it's possible, not to lean too heavily against the back of the chair. Your back will become strong through practice. If you're seated in a chair, it's perfectly fine to meditate. Just have your feet straight down so the body's balanced. We place our palms face up, right palm on the left with the thumbs touching, and they're held around the level of the navel, right against the body so the body is held erect. Head is slightly tipped forward, and the eyes are directed towards the tip of the nose or the floor in the space in front of you. If you'd like, you can curl the tongue to touch the upper palate and the mouth. It cuts down on the production of saliva, so you're not swallowing as much, which can distract you when you meditate. But just find your way into as comfortable a position as possible. And check areas of your body to release any tension you might be holding, such as the brow and the jaw, your neck and shoulders. Your hips, and allow a normal, natural breath to move through your system, opening up some space in any areas of tension, allowing it to release. And take a moment to consider your purpose for being here right now. And as you set a motivation, think of all the other beings all around this planet suffering, needing our help so urgently, and often in our current capacity we're very limited to be able to help all of them. We're limited in our thinking, we're limited in what to say to them, we're limited in our physical responses to them. And just consider, as a Buddha, you're unlimited in all of those capacities. Unlimited in helping. So if you'd like to direct your motivation to think about reaching this state of enlightenment, of fully becoming fully awake, which is what Buddha means in Sanskrit, fully awakened being. Are we ever fully awake now in our current situations? What would it be like to be fully awake? So imagine reaching that place so we can unlimitedly help all other beings. If you'd like to include that in your motivation, great. And just take a moment to set a good motivation for this evening and all the activities of the rest of your day. And bring your awareness now to your breath. So follow the air moving in and out of your nostrils, keeping all of your concentration there. When the mind wanders and you're completely off the breath, simply observe without any further elaboration. And with gentleness directed towards yourself, bring the mind back to the breath. So I want you to reflect now. Ask yourself the question, what am I doing to be happy? What am I doing to be happy? So identify various methods that people around you use to release themselves from problems and to get happiness. You can also look at your own mechanisms. What do you do to free yourself from suffering and obtain happiness? So think about, what am I doing to be happy? And how do other people manage? So just evaluate. You want to evaluate these methods in terms of their effectiveness in obtaining lasting happiness. So just take a few minutes. So please relax. Slowly open your eyes. It says right here it ends at 8:30. Okay. They're so organized. Look at this. Here's my whole schedule tomorrow. Okay. And it starts tomorrow at?
10.
Okay. Very organized. Okay. So what are you doing to be happy? And I'm just asking you, it's helpful a little bit to reflect that on that sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't it help a little bit? It's a little scary, isn't it, too? Because there's a lot of activities in there that aren't really going to bring us lasting happiness, would you say? Okay? So, I mean, I do this in my own life, honestly. People think you're a nun, so you're perfect. It's not true. Yeah, I'm a really ordinary being. I'm trying just like you. Okay? But what I found, and you go through different, you plateau in your spiritual practice. If you've been at this for a while, you reach areas and then nothing's happening. You get kind of bored. Okay? So you start, sometimes you lapse into some unhealthy habits. Things change in your life, you know, and you find yourself living at an old farmhouse in remote Vermont. Okay? And you're like, how did I get here? What happened? Actually, it's very beautiful there. I actually just came from Vermont, having one of the most exquisite springs I've ever seen in my life. Beautiful place. But things change and different things get accessed, right? So what I found in my own practice, there's times I'm being lazy, not as effective. And I can feel my mind not happy. You know, like it's easy to, and I'm not a big TV watcher, but I've seen some friends, you know, this mudra, it's really powerful, right? It's easy. It's comfortable. And what happens is when it goes on for too long, it's familiar. That's what your mind becomes familiar with. Come home from work and, you know, I want to do my prep. It's easy, you know, back on the couch. You know, but then an hour goes by and then you feel worse. So you yourself have to check. Is it effective? Again, is it an effective method? Long-term wise, I've had periods like that, not much about TV, but I'm like a novel reader. Okay, that's like one of my... So, you know, I can get into garbage, not so many garbage books, but just books that really don't, you know, do much for my practice or anything. It goes on and on. It becomes a habit. Habit. So, and then I notice how the mind kind of a little bit sinks, a little bit, I don't want to do my practice. And I'm also noticing maybe a symptom of, they call this the degenerate time. Degenerate time now, degenerate age. Things are getting worse in a sense. You know, some things have improved, but the nature of our minds. So I'd have to say, I hear a lot, meet with a lot of students, teach in a lot of places, the excuses now for people not practicing, they're at a whole new high of sophistication. I found. It's unbelievable some of the things people come up with. So look, just this is about you and your mind. What excuses are you making? Where? And then what I found is if I can pop myself out of some negative habit that's going on that isn't benefiting from me first reflecting and seeing it's not benefiting really, okay, and pop myself out and I start to introduce this new thing, new type of practice or something. Or maybe I get into an old part of practice, but I'm doing it now. You know, it's so refreshing. Yourself, your own personal space is like, wow, I can do this, right? And bring a friend along with you. Meaning, you start doing some practice, and you tell your friend, hey, you know what? You know what I did on Saturday? I got my meditation place together. I did a session. You know, I read that chapter in the book I didn't understand. I got that course going. Then your friend's kind of like, oh, well, maybe I'll do that. It's contagious. It's contagious. Just like our negative stuff can be contagious. Okay? So this is something you yourself have to make effort, put effort into. Okay? But effort's not a problem for our culture, right? We know how to make effort. We spend a tremendous amount of effort in our lives, just not necessarily on the most virtuous things that will create an effective method for you for lasting happiness. Okay? So please reflect on that at times. And we started with, we had a motivation, and then we went into some concentration. It was very brief. We are going to do more periods of that. Even though there's a fair amount of material I want to get through, but I think it's more effective to also try a little concentration. The reason is you need that. You need shine. Shine is calm abiding. Calm abiding. The mind staying, abiding, placing itself and stabilizing on one object unwaveringly. Okay, so the reason that's introduced also in the Lam Rim, okay, is because you need that to have a direct perception of emptiness, to penetrate the nature of reality. You need to have that level of mind. There's 9 levels of shine to develop that stable mind where you can hold your mind unwaveringly for 4 hours on one thing. Now, we'll say, well, I can't get there. You can all get there. You can all get there. It's your choice what you are choosing to put effort into. Okay? They say if you have the right retreat conditions, you can get shine in 6 months. Okay? So meditative concentration. Meditative concentration gets you to wisdom. Gets you to wisdom. Okay? Those are 2 of what's called the 3 higher trainings. Meditative concentration is 2, and 3 is wisdom. What's the first one? Anybody?
Compassion. Morality.
Sorry?
Morality.
Morality. Thank you. Morality. Okay? Morality or good ethics. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, morality, it's not kind of like my judgment on you, you shouldn't be doing this with... No, it's not that kind of thing that came into the States some years ago. Morality is every time you refrain from stepping on an insect with consciousness. With consciousness. You know, you decide not to tell a lie to somebody, even a white lie, because you realize the ramifications. There's going to create some negative karma. You stop yourself from negatively responding to someone, from yelling at someone, okay, from stealing something or taking what isn't offered to you. Even though you know your friend would give it to you anyway, but you haven't asked them, that's considered a light degree of stealing. All of this, practicing the 10 virtues and avoiding the 10 non-virtues, is building morality. That's what we call good ethics, morality. Okay? So that's the first of the 3 higher trainings, morality. And then because you have morality, that's why it's a basis of meditative stabilization. Why? Because you need your mind to be unfettered with, oh, I cheated that guy and I lied to that person. I need to make up with that person. We had a fight 5 years ago. I never talked to my mother anymore. All that stuff creates this when you're trying to meditate. Total distraction. Total distraction. So the more good you can live with yourself and in your space and in the world, you sit down to meditate, then calm. Okay. Then relative space and peace can open up. Okay? Because there isn't all that niggling stuff there. Make sense? Understand? Okay? Then the meditative stabilization, I need it because I have to apply it in meditation on wisdom, on emptiness. And I need to be able to hold my concentration there to penetrate, to have a direct perception of emptiness, where you see emptiness directly. It's not just intellectual. You see emptiness directly. That's how the 3 of those fit together. Okay, now I'm saying this briefly, but I want to give you a container of how this fits in so you can apply it to your practice. Am I living ethically? You can ask yourself. We all have our stuff with the 10 non-virtues. Okay? Familiar with the 10 non-virtues? What are they? 3 apply to your body. 4 are things you do with your speech. 3 are things you think with your mind. What are the 3 of the body? We avoid. This is a quiz for you. I'll see how good Geshe Gelug's doing with you, okay? Okay. We avoid killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Thank you, okay? 4 with the speech. That one's speech. Okay, 1 is, these are in order of the speech. They're in order of heaviness. 1 is lying. We avoid lying. 2, divisive speech. Somebody's been doing their homework, okay? 3, harsh speech, yelling, cursing at people. 4, idle speech, gossip. Gossip's the lightest. See, it's the last one mentioned, okay? But it's the worst. Why? Because we do it all the time. Gossip is not just talking about someone behind their back. It's also going on and on and on about the latest sporting event you witnessed. That's gossip. It's just idle chatter. Who cares, right? Especially if the other person isn't interested. You just went on and on about the plot and twist of the latest movie you saw. And the person's like, she's going to tell me the whole movie now. Right? That's gossip. That's kind of idle chatter. Okay. Three, related to your mind. What do you do with your mind?
Anger.
Covetousness. Thank you. That's always when people always get hooked on that. Greed. That's having a greedy mind. Covetousness. Okay. Number two.
Anger.
Related to anger. Malice. You might call it a malice. What's another word? Ill will. Ever hear of ill will? Harmful intent. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Harmful intent. You know, this is like having in your mind, we have these terrible expressions in American. Drop dead. That's harmful intent. Like that mind behind it. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, think of the thinking behind that. Wishing others ill. Okay? Last one with your mind. What do you do? Holding wrong views. Holding wrong views. That means in the 1930s and 40s, maybe in the 1920s, everybody smoked cigarettes. Everybody smoked cigarettes. A whole industry of lighters and cigarette cases and all these kind of things, cigarette holders. And everybody smoked cigarettes till they realized the negative effects on your health. Okay? So if you now felt that cigarette smoking was good for your health, that's holding a wrong view. Okay? If you relate it to the Dharma, thinking you will live forever in this body is holding a wrong view. Yeah. It's different if you're being discerning and you say, I'm not sure about reincarnation. And you just put it on the shelf to the side for now. That's different than saying, I think it's garbage. That's different. Okay. So we're trying to avoid those kind of behaviors. That's what lends to ethical conduct. Okay. I just wanted to give an overview because some people are newer here as well. How does emptiness also fit into our path? Some of you have heard of the three principles of the path, also called the three principal aspects of the path. Okay? What are those? Renunciation. Number two? Bodhicitta. And then that leads to the wisdom realizing emptiness. Okay? This encompasses the whole path. You'll find all the Lam Rim topics built into the three principal aspects of the path. Okay? Renunciation takes in the entire kind of lower scope motivation of a person of a lower scope motivation of the Lam Rim. Things of why it's advantageous to be a human, you know, the preciousness I have right now to practice, this is slipping away quickly, I may end up in a more less fortunate realm, what will help me, my refuge, and I need to learn how to conduct myself. Those are all the topics, precious human rebirth, lower realms, refuge, karma, all the topics of the lower realm, lower scope motivation, renunciation. It leads you to renunciation, and it also takes into consideration all the different ways we suffer, which is the motivation of the medium scope person. I'd like to get rid of my suffering. I'm tired of the suffering. Okay? So renunciation is not about giving all your money away. It is an attitude. It's an attitude. And they say when you have true renunciation, real renunciation is when you strive day and night to get out of samsara. When you strive day and night to get out of samsara. What's samsara? What does it mean, samsara? Sanskrit word. What does it mean?
Cyclic existence.
Cyclic existence. It means to turn, to cycle. That's what it means in Sanskrit. Samsara. Okay? What are we turning through? We're turning through birth, old age, sickness, and death. All of that is suffering. I'm sorry to break it to you. Okay? However, by understanding a little better its nature, okay, I think you can enjoy life more. You understand sometimes the car will break down. Sometimes you're going to get the flu. Sometimes you're going to stub your toe. Sometimes you're going to have a fight with your kid. You know, sometimes when you need it to be clear out, it's going to be raining. Okay? That's samsara. That's its nature. So if you understand that, there's no surprises. Like, oh yeah, you know, I'm sick. I got a cold. You know, I don't like my boss. I'm not having a bad day today. That's just samsara. Like that. You're not in the middle of a swimming pool filled with water. We know the nature of water is it's moist. So you're not in the middle of a swimming pool filled with water flailing around going, ah, it's wet here, right? That's what most of us are doing in samsara. If I could just fix it, everything's going to be perfect. You know, I hear people putting their practice off. Once we get the mortgage dealt with, then I'm going to start practicing. Once I get the kid off to college, I'm really going to set up my practice and do the, well, you know, just it's easier to know you're never in samsara ever going to have it all together. Let it go now. It's much easier. You know, so what you're trying to do is get this stuff, get your mind together now. We don't have much time. Get your mind together now. Okay? So renunciation is you understand the suffering nature of it. And everything you're doing is directed to getting yourself out of it. Yeah. What are you doing to be happy? It's related to that. We really need to be honest with ourselves. What am I really doing to be happy? But please do it now. Do it now. Don't wait anymore. Don't wait anymore. We've waited long enough, haven't we? And it's available to you. Freedom is available. 1 year at Light of the Path retreat, the first year I was there, a very close friend of mine was there. I hope he'll be there this year. I'm not sure. He's a great practitioner. He's really got an amazing mind. Okay? So he was there, and we were sitting in the back of the room at one point during a break, and there were all these people, you know, 200 people, and he looked at me, and he's quite funny. And he looked, and he was like, it was like a, you know, he's going to tell me a secret. And he said, hey, how many of these people do you think really want to be free? Right? When you think about it, like how many people do you know on a spiritual level really going for it? You know, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche at Light of the Path, the same thing, was talking about your spiritual path, your enlightenment. Do any of you have sports teams that you cheer for? Maybe your kids' teams and stuff like that? No, is it Friday night? Everybody's like, I don't know who your baseball team is here that you root for, some farm team, maybe. But, you know, so Rinpoche, there he was. Rinpoche was talking because it was a bit of an international crew at Light of the Path, people from Europe and Australia. And Rinpoche says, like, your football team. He goes, you need to cheer for your enlightenment. And then on the throne, I don't know if you remember this, Rinpoche is like, right? But that's the kind of thing we want to start to rehearse and make that the practice, meaning we want to make ourselves familiar with that attitude. Now, the world, I know, it's difficult. It's swimming the other way. The things people are telling us are important. Okay, you've got a tremendous community here. So that's why you want to associate, make friends with the people in this community, have your Dharma buddy. So those are the influences. You can go out and go out for lunch and have a weekend and you go out shopping with your Dharma buddy, but the stuff you talk about is slightly different sometimes. I noticed that with my Dharma friends, even long before I was a nun. It was great because we could go out and go out to the movies, go out for dinner, but sometimes it's a little bit more directed like that, a little bit more focused like that. I was just with a Dharma friend, and I noticed the stuff we were on, like this little bit of a road trip, and the stuff we focused on and talked about in the scenery that we were immersed. It's a different influence in your mind. It's a different influence on your mind. Okay, and hopefully it can get you a little bit more motivated for practice. Okay? So renunciation kind of builds from there. Samsara, to turn, to cycle. This is our situation. So it's a broken situation right now. So knowing that, I can, you know, there's a lot of joy in the world. There's a lot of beauty in the world. You can appreciate it. But you know, I know the spring in Vermont's not going to last forever. And in a few months, it's going to be gone. And there's nothing like after the leaves change and you've come to October 15th now, it's over up there, the leaf peeping, right? Really. So I remember that when that would set in and I'd be like, and there's, before winter hits and before the snow comes, which is beautiful, there's this kind of gray, all the trees go back and all the leaves are gone and it's like gray. But that's just the cycle. That's how it goes because I understand that. I know that then the winter will come, the snow is beautiful, and I know there'll be another cycle. Samsara, to turn. Do you remember, I mentioned this, I know, in here before in another class, I think. Do you remember in the 1990s, I was at the center in California, where I met Paul and Glenna. this center, and they, one of the perfume factories, we didn't have TV there, so we didn't watch TV, but occasionally I'd be at a friend's or something, or, and one of the perfume companies invented a new perfume. It was the hottest thing on the market. It was, so they were promoting it. I remember I saw a commercial. We Buddhists thought this was hysterical. It was called Samsara. Do you remember that? And they marketed it. You know, it's like a sexy word. I don't know if they knew what it meant, but it was, you know. So they'd marketed. There was some commercial I remember seeing, and it was, you know, Samsara. Right? You want to buy it? Like, I needed more of that. Like, you want to buy it? For some expensive amount of money, we were hysterical. We were like, who needs that? Like, do they have any idea? But, you know, it's a sexy kind of Samsara, you know. So I remember thinking, suffering, great, and I have to buy it? Fantastic, right? So so we do want to be, so, but think about renunciation. Think about your own level of renunciation this evening. If you're coming back tomorrow, the weekend, just think about, are there things, your attitude of, is there something you could let go of that's actually causing you suffering? What would it be in your life right now? What activity, what state of mind could you turn a little bit from? Okay, that something that's giving you suffering, and that's where I think compassion for ourselves is the beginning of renunciation. When you start to have compassion for yourself. What I mean by that is, you've all been through various things, and you know when something's not working in your life, like really not working? Could be a bad relationship. You continually have this issue when you're working in a certain work environment. You have a pattern with your kids or your partner. There's something going on, and sometimes you hit a wall and you just say, enough. Right? I can't do it this way anymore. I can't do this anymore. So that's having some compassion for yourself. You know, and that's the beginning of renunciation. So look at your own life. Really reflect. I'd like this to be useful for you. So please relate this to your own life of, you know, how, where am I in relation to renunciation? You know, what am I hanging on to that continues to perpetuate suffering in my life? You know, if you want, make a little note for yourself. These things are not, can I adjust something in the next month in relation to these three things? Any questions so far? Anything I mentioned? So bodhicitta, the second of the three principal aspects of the path, bodhicitta, we're familiar with. That's another course on the enlightened attitude, developing the good heart. This is the crux of Mahayana Buddhism. I'm trying to get enlightened to benefit all other beings. Okay, so first the path is turning my mind to freeing myself from more suffering, developing the good heart, and developing the right view, emptiness. And that's when you get the wings of the bird. You need both of them to fly to enlightenment. Okay. So I want to give you about our lineage. Where do we get these emptiness teachings in just the remainder of the time? And we'll continue it tomorrow morning. Okay. The essential instruction the Buddha provided for to have amazing realizations was pointing out reality, also known as emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness. Okay, so again, this is an introduction, what I'm going to talk about. I found that in the Buddhist teachings, all of the teachings are really directed to getting you to realize emptiness. Every single teaching, all the Lam Rim, it's all basically soaking your mind in a certain, getting you positioned to realize emptiness, setting you up for that, all of it. And I honestly haven't found this type of teaching, the teachings on emptiness, in any other tradition, meaning any other spirituality. I found things slightly similar, like the Kabbalah has some similar veins, some aspects of Sufism. I think the esoteric sides of many of these religions is somewhat similar. Somewhat similar. I mean, really, so amazingly, all of them really based in love. Really, truly, it's all about love. How they're actually practiced on the universe is slightly different due to human nature. Human nature, not perfect. Okay? So let's not trust that, but let's go back to really the essence, Buddha nature, and what the real true essence of these spiritualities say, but I haven't quite found in any of them teachings as profound as emptiness of dismantling a misknowing of reality. I haven't found anything that clear. Okay? So emptiness, shunyata. Let me just give you a little bit about the word shunyata. Sanskrit noun. It's from the adjective, and I'm not pronouncing these very well. My Sanskrit isn't very good. Shunya, void, void. Shunata, emptiness or voidness. Okay, it's a characteristic of phenomena arising from the fact, as observed and taught by the Buddha, that the impermanent nature of form means that nothing possesses essential, enduring identity. Okay, I'll say that again. So just listen. It's this emptiness, this void, is a characteristic, shunyata, is a characteristic of phenomena arising from the fact, as observed and taught by the Buddha, that the impermanent nature of form means that nothing possesses essential, enduring identity. Okay. In the Buddhist spiritual teaching, insight into the emptiness of phenomena is an aspect of the cultivation of insight, and it leads to wisdom and inner peace. Okay, so in Tibetan is, I don't pronounce this that well, tompanyi, emptiness. Okay, so the point of emptiness, okay, because people say, you know, so what, you know how something exists? What's the point of that? Is what it does is it totally can transform my misknowing, a misunderstanding I'm having. Okay, it's due to that misunderstanding that you suffer. It's completely due to the misknowing is the reason you suffer at all. If you don't want to suffer anymore, realize emptiness. Okay, so it's not just about analyzing how something exists. The reason you're doing it is once you have a direct perception of that, and you can first have an intellectual understanding of that, which you need first. Okay, but that whole experience and exercise is what dismantles, what pops the suffering out there for you. So it's just so clear, if you don't want to suffer, here's the tools. Any of you can do this. Does it take effort? Absolutely. I'm sorry, the Buddha can't do it for us. Because if they could, if the highly realized beings could do it for us, they would do it. But they can't. They can't tame our minds. You can tame your mind, but you can. So the fact that you're here right now is phenomenal. That you chose on a Friday night after a long work week probably to come here. So let's start by giving ourselves some credit. Okay? Because this is a path that takes confidence. To get enlightened, it takes confidence. And it's okay to have inner confidence and inner and self-compassion from there. A lot of our culture is fragmented and alienated, and then disrespecting themselves, and then from there they disrespect others, and then harm others. So this does start with us, okay, but with the motivation, I want to help all others. I want to get enlightened to help all others. You never want to lose sight of that bodhicitta intention. So that was just, I just wanted to give kind of more of a definition of that. And let me talk a little bit about, we're talking about ultimate truth, the actual way in which everything does exist. Okay? I'd say pretty much the most profound of all the Buddhist teachings. Okay? And Lama Zopa Rinpoche even further confirms what I was just saying, that each and every meditational Dharma practice has been taught for only one reason, to lead beings to the correct view of reality, that all things are empty of independent existence. Okay, let me give you a little bit of some terms, and we're going to talk about these again and again. You hear about something that's called inherent existence. Inherent existence. People don't often like the word emptiness, because we have an idea the cup is empty, meaning it doesn't have any liquid in it. It's not like that, actually. Okay, so what I want to just bring you to some terms that are synonyms. We're going to be looking at something called inherent nature. Inherent nature. This is the hardest thing for us to get a sense of, inherent nature. I am going to spend some time talking about that. Okay, so what is inherent nature? I'm going to give some synonyms right now. Intrinsic value. Okay, independent existence. Concrete nature. With its own character. Existing from its own side. Those are all synonyms for inherent nature. Okay? Inherent nature implies something existing that is not a product. Doesn't come from anything else. Things that exist inherently, in a sense, are frozen in space and time. Why? They don't come from anything else. They've always been that. They've always been that. This is very hard for us to realize. So I just want you to slowly, when you leave here tonight, I want you to reflect on that. I want you to take with you, this is your exercise when you go home. I want to give you an exercise for sleeping and waking as well. When you go home, so I want you to see everything as a product. So please try to, again, bringing my mind back. Yeah, some of you are going to walk out the door and it's gone. Never thought about the exercise, nothing, okay? I want you to see everything as a product, meaning look at the floor, okay? So we say floor and it seems like there's a floorness out there. It's pretty solid. Why? Everybody's sitting on it. If I tapped on it, it's hard, the floor. But look at the floor now. There's a seam in it. I see seams. I see blocks, kind of, and actually pieces of the floor, right? And if you look more closely, it's made up of particles in the pattern of it. Okay, so suddenly the floor, we realize, well, actually it's got a top and a bottom and sides and pieces of it laid down probably in strips. And everybody can see that, I think, if you look at the floor. Okay, the other thing is physicists know there's molecules moving around that make up the floor in a certain configuration. Even more subtle, right? Okay. These are the products that make up the floor. So if you really want to look for the floor, okay, we're going to analyze the floor as well. We'll slowly go through that later, the floor and other objects, to see. But it seems like there's this concrete floorness there. No, but then suddenly you go, no, oh no, it came from other, somebody manufactured it. And then before that it was in pieces and parts, there were causes and conditions that went into it. People started to develop something they wanted to sit on. Make a place like that, make it a little nicer than just dirt. That's how flooring came into existence. Okay? Somebody might have said, I want to make a factory and make money. That's another condition for the floor to come into being. Okay? So I just want you to see things as parts. The prayer flags. You see prayer flags. Okay, one glom. But then you go, well, no, there's different ones. And look, they're different colors. And the dyes that went into them have different components. Different things. And there's words written on them. There's images that really make up prayer flag. There's, you know, suddenly it's a product of all these other things. The cloth, the material that went into the cloth, that was woven into that. Where did that come from? Well, it was grown in a plant, if it's cotton. Well, and where did that come from? Well, it came from the cotton plant. Where did that come from? The seed. Where did that come from? Well, I put it in the ground and then with the water and the sun. And there's a prayer flag there now. So I want you to try to dissect things. Okay, everybody clear? Rudy with me? Okay, when you go to bed tonight, some of you are already doing this, probably, you might have an evening practice. You might do Vajrasattva practice or something. But then eventually you're going to lay down in bed. Okay? So let's make our sleeping virtuous. You're laying down in bed. I need to rest my body. I need to sleep. Okay? I need to sleep for my health. I hope I wake up tomorrow morning refreshed so that I can do whatever activities I'm doing with good alertness. You know, some spaciousness in my mind, being with my mind as compassionately as I can. And so what I want to do is I really need to sleep, and I hope that I can use my waking time wisely that will propel me along a path to full awakening so I can benefit all other beings. So really, for the point of benefiting others, I'm not going to practice the yoga of sleeping. Then go to sleep. Okay? So you set a positive intention to sleep. And when you wake up, you set a similar intention. How do you wake up? Anybody? What's your waking thoughts? He laughed. What's your waking thought?
Not good.
Not good, right? Coffee. Not good. I know people that wake up. How many? I don't know if any of you wake up to face another day. Really?
Already.
Yeah. So people wake up like that, okay? It's up to you to change that morning. That's your very first beginning of the day. Okay? How about a little gratitude? Why? Because we didn't wake up in Syria. Right? You didn't wake up on a mental hospital ward. Okay? You, and that you woke up. That you woke up. You had another day in this precious life with Kadampa Center. Unbelievable. You live near a center like this with everything's here. You live at a time when a Buddha taught the entire path to enlightenment and taught Tantra. That's Shakyamuni Buddha. That's right now. That's happening right now. We have these teachings. Other times will come and a Buddha will manifest and they won't teach Tantra. Okay, go. Right? Okay, other Buddhas will come and some of them won't even teach. Can you imagine you feel that this person's special, you know, but they're not going to tell you how they got there. Right now, we have everything available to us. Every single thing's available for us to get free, okay? So when you wake up in the morning, can you bring a little bit of that gratitude into your heart? Okay? And from there, I think, you know, I may lose this experience really quickly. I'm going to die soon. It's going to happen to everybody. Okay, I like to keep a little bit of death awareness with me. Why? Motivates my practice. Not in a morbid sense. I'm not creating my own death. Okay, I'm not wishing it on. But it's just an awareness of a balance. Wow, this is a precious scene. It could end quickly. What I want to do? Then I set my motivation. What I'd like to do is direct all the activities of my body, speech, and mind as much as I can throughout the day to something positive that gets me enlightened quickly so I can benefit all other beings. And it's for that purpose I'm going to get out of bed right now. It's for that purpose I'm going to brush my teeth. That purpose I'm going to have my coffee. With that purpose I'm going to have breakfast, get dressed, have a shower, whatever you do. Understand? Possible? You try. You try. A little bit, these bookends around the day. Okay? Understanding emptiness is vital, and then we'll finish, is vital not only to free ourselves from all the confusion, problems, and suffering we experience in our lives, but also to fulfill our highest potential, attaining enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. When a person gives rise to the wisdom that experiences emptiness, it's an antidote to the obstacles to liberation and omniscience. So you're already on the path of seeing when you have a direct perception of emptiness. Path of seeing is the third of the five paths to enlightenment. So you're well advanced at that point, moving towards, and it's removing obstacles to reaching nirvana and getting enlightened, okay? So again, this is just one way I'm going to teach. There's many different, I would try different teachers, and it's an integrated approach I find very helpful. So basically what I would ask you is, you're going to get some information. I'm going to ask you to reflect on things. Please try to do the exercises. We are going to have meditations. There'll be some break times. I'm going to ask you to discuss certain things with each other. So try to really do those exercises. We only have a very short time like that. But then I'd ask you to take it on. Read the books. One book I'm going to recommend. I think you guys maybe got it. Did you get this here? Were you able to get this? Okay. This is unbelievable. I love this. There's many great books on emptiness. Insight into Emptiness, Geshe Jumpa Tekchog. This came out recently, Wisdom Publications. Okay? I had an old draft on a retreat I did some years ago, and I was like, it's so clear. It's just a very clear thing. And he takes you through the first part is all about the three principles of the path. Like, he's warming you up. You need to be warmed up a little. We don't have as much time to do all that. But it's very clear. And then I kept saying, is it in somebody's computer? Can I get the thing? And anyway, they made a book out of it. So I'm like, great, you know, useful. But there's also the emptiness parts of the Lam Rim books. So if you're not familiar with this at all, start with a small Lam Rim book. The Essence of Nectar. Or The Essence of Refined Gold. Start with one of those. The library here may have them. You can easily get them online. And take the emptiest part. Read until you really understand what it's saying. Inside, outside. Do you understand what it's saying? Okay? There's a Discovering Buddhism Emptiness course, Module 12. Some of you, how many of you have done that? Great. So this, I'm taking some of these notes from that, and then I'm adding some other things, different things, components from my study, like that. Great course. Thupten Pende, I think, was the one teaching the home course, home study course, or you have somebody active teaching it here. Fantastic. Okay? So you want to study more, and then take a deeper Lam Rim book, Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, you might use. Go over the emptiness part in there. There's pages of it. Make sure you thoroughly understand. If not, ask questions. Do some meditation on emptiness. We're going to do that this weekend. I would start with How to Meditate, Venerable Sangye Kadro, Kathleen MacDonald. This book has a very nice emptiness meditation. Okay? So very helpful to get yourself started. Okay? And just see if it's something, and then what you can do is you want to try to soak your mind in a different view. So you need to kind of do it often. But then when you're in the break times, you're going to work, you're with your family, it loosens up reality. The world starts to have no edges. You start kind of seeing like, yeah. You know, things, I see the way I'm interpreting this scene, but is that accurate? Is that really what's happening here? Is that the whole story? Emptiness asks you to poke at that constantly. Okay, so we're going to talk more about that. So some outcome, anyway, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. 10 o'clock. Any questions? Anything that's not clear? Okay. Thanks for coming. I know people are a little tired Friday. You had a long week. Okay, so everything is a product. Use your and I'd like to dedicate the merit, whatever positive energy. Emptiness creates so much merit. Just to think about emptiness, to want to attend a class on emptiness, to attend a class, to study, creates so much merit for you. There is a potential of so much merit. So I'd like to take any positive energy we've created here this evening, let's invest it in our being able to spend some time with this pithy topic till we have a better understanding of it. May we be able to set up our lives in such a way that we can meditate more and more on emptiness and do some retreats on emptiness that will help propel us along a path to full enlightenment, as then we're completely unlimited in benefiting all others. So I'd really like to dedicate in that way. And for all the beings around the planet who need additional healing, can we offer this to them? Like that, all the beings that we're going to become a Buddha to help, okay? So for all of these beings, we're going to bring them into the room with us this weekend, is why we're here right now to explore this course. So thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming. And look forward to spending time with you this weekend.
Venerable Amy, may I read the sponsors?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Susie Baum, her dedication and gratitude for the kindness of all our Dharma teachers, Neil Oldham, to the Sangha and their spread of the Dharma, with special thanks to Venerable Amy for her work on Buddhism in a nutshell. Sandy Carlson, any positive potential created by this sponsorship is dedicated to the long, healthy, happy lives of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Ken Rinpoche Lobsang Dalek, Lama Zopan Rinpoche, Geshe Gelet, Geshe Sangpo, Venerable Amy, and all our precious Sangha. May Kodama Center's community continue to be of benefit to each other and countless sentient beings for eons and eons. Donna Cease, by hearing these precious teachings, may we create the cause to see emptiness directly and liberate ourselves from samsara. Having freed ourselves, may we become Buddhas and return to lead all sentient beings to the bliss of liberation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last thing I wanted to say, some of you may just be here for this evening. So I have a website that has a lot of useful stuff on it now. A friend just helped me get it into shape. But there's some cards out of the website I'll just leave here. So what I wanted to also mention, if some of you aren't coming back, the Lama Zopa Rinpoche has asked me to try to go to lead some people up to Lao Do, the retreat center in Nepal, to teach a little bit up there, and I'm going to be doing that late September, early October 2017. So if you're at all interested in doing trekking in Nepal, going to the Mount Everest region, if you have any interest, you have a year and a half to get yourselves together. And there'll be more info on my website. There's now a slideshow of the walk and me going up a few times with some photos of Laudo. But more, there's some teachings also connected on different topics if you're interested. So you can access that through the website if you're interested. So I just wanted to mention that. So thank you so much. Hope to see you this weekend. And I'd also like to, just to focus, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I was just helping a prisoner, Geshe Gelick was also involved, on death row in Georgia, who was executed the end of April. And tomorrow is his 49th day. So I want to do some dedication. His name was Daniel Lucas. So if you can just direct some dedication, some prayers to him. Thank you so much.